What's up? Welcome to the Mint Catch Up Podcast, episode 79. Not right with my spirit. With your host, Lofton, aka Mr. Hayes Adonis. And I got my co-host, Rajim, in the building.
Mr. Make It Happen, baby, all day long. Let's go. Another episode.
And we have a special guest down below. You know, one of my, I can say, good friends. You know what I'm saying? We be out there, you know, we hit the links, you know what I'm saying? Black men golfing, we be out there doing the thing, trying to score with a little white ball and all that other good stuff. Former co-worker, I can say now, former co-worker. He is a pilot, you know what I'm saying? Very professional gentleman, Latino, you know what I'm saying? Black man from the Dominican, you know what I'm saying? Representing, welcome, everyone welcome, Eddie V to the show.
Thank you much, gentlemen. Thank you so much. Appreciate that.
Let's go.
Wow, what an intro. Thank you much.
Well, you know, hey, like,
stop before we go any further. My bad. Where's your applause at?
You can't hear it? I can hear it. I don't know what happened.
I can hear it.
See, he heard it.
Last week, I can hear it. I heard nothing.
Well, we're going to go ahead and get it popping because, like, all we always do. We got to start it out, you know what I'm saying, with finding out how was your week, man. Rajim, tell me how your week was.
Man, it was good, man. It was good. I'm trying to get this hat right, man. I'm trying to be dapper this week, and I can't get my hat right. But anyway, yeah, man, it's been a good week, bro. You know, being that I purchased a new house, you know, it's a lot of stuff that nobody told me I was going to have to do when I bought my house. So last week I went out and just like cut all my trees. Like every tree in the front of my house is gone. Like even trees that I didn't want going is gone now. Like I wasn't here when the dude was cutting them down. He decided to say, I'm gonna cut everything. So anyway, yeah. So all my trees is gone or whatever. So I'm working on that. Working on stuff out of the house, man. It's been, but you know what? The weekend, like we come back on Tuesday now. So the weekend, man, had a good time on the weekend. I went to DJ Khaled's restaurant. You ever heard of Licking?
Oh,
okay.
It's
called Licking. Yeah. DJ Khaled.
Where's that at?
You know, I'm impressed. I'm going to be real with you. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't, like, it was okay. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't worth the hype. You know, people hype stuff up because it's Khaled or whatever. It's not like he's there cooking the food, but, you know, I walked in, bro. It was like a family had just left and there was like food all over the floor. And it was like, ooh. You know, the guy was taking his time to do the tables and
I'm just wondering, did the maitre d' go, we the best?
Yeah. The guy, he said God did. It wasn't like all that, honestly, real talk.
Were they playing this tune throughout all dinner?
Huh?
Were they playing his tunes throughout your dinner?
Hey, man, that's the thing. The whole time we listening to, I would say we listening to trap music. It had to be stuff that Khaled produced probably. So it's always trap music. It was loud. It was cold. Wow. Every person that worked there was ratchet. You know what I'm saying? I guess it was what it was supposed to be. You know, another one. You know what I'm saying? So, but it was an experience. We got to eat there. Probably won't do it again. You know what I'm saying? But shout out to Khaled. He apparently doing good. He had got two locations.
Hey,
so apparently doing good or whatever. So went there, ate, man. It was okay. I mean, I won't give it a thumbs down, but it's probably somewhere I wouldn't go eat again unless we had Khaled on the show. Khaled was on the show. I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to eat there again, bro. Get some lemon pepper wings. But it was all right, man. I chilled out on Sunday, got stuff done. Mm-hmm. What else? I did something else this past weekend. I can't remember what it was. You know,
you tell me.
Yeah, I had a good week, bro. Like, you know, and like I said, Monday and Tuesday, you know how the work go.
Start yeah, for sure. So we'll just see another one going. So yeah, it was this week was uh was pretty cool, you know, so just relaxed. We had UTA. So, you know, for those that don't know what that means, I was just at work this weekend. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's just training what it was. Work. You know what I'm saying? So I was at work this weekend having a good time. Association? No.
Fighting it out with the Weekend Warriors?
Yep, Weekend Warriors. We was hanging out with them, making sure that they were squared away, doing their thing. Okay. You know, we gotta give the supervision, guide them in the right direction. So that's what I was doing this weekend, making sure everybody was good to go. You know, it was good, man. It was good. And, you know, I got to ask how my man Eddie V, how was your weekend? I know you was just living it up, man. So how was
dude, chilling. I mean, beaches and beer, there's really not much you can do wrong in the DR. You know, some house chores, kind of like Rajim over there, broken washer in the house, some minor house things I had to take care of for the family. But other than that, just chilling.
That's dope. That's dope. It's always a good time. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we had the weekend. We had Monday. You know what I'm saying? Some people get the case of the Mondays. If you had a case of the Mondays, you may have to open up a case on Tuesday. And that's what we're here for. Because we out here getting the drink of the day. Drink of the day. Drink of the day. Drink of the day. All right. So for me, drink of the day. I had a little vodka. And some strawberries in there, and I put a little strawberry mule. That's what I put together right there. So I got a little strawberry mule ready to go, making it happen. I did my workout, and this is my after workout drink, which is not the best. But, hey, we doing it. You know what I mean? We doing big things. Rajin, man, talk to me, man. What you got for your drink of the day?
So, man, I'm still zero sugar, man. I mean, I'm 3 weeks in on no sugar.
Good.
I'm down 5 pounds, you know what I'm saying? So, but I did find out this. So, since I'm zero sugar, man, mm-hmm. I've been sipping on, you know, my just truly got 1 gram of sugar or whatever. But I found out that my dog, yes, sir, my boy Tito, don't have no sugar. So, I got this truly. You know what I'm saying? I mix it with a little bit of that Tito's. I call it that truly Tito. I'm getting ready for this cruise, bro. I'm trying to drop another 25 pounds. I'm down 5. You know what I'm saying?
You're trying to get basic training.
You gonna gain it back on the cruise? Hey, look, I'm going to the guys' cruise. Real talk, because my wife thinks I'm just doing it because I'm trying to look good for some females. So I got about 4 or 5 of my homeboys going on this cruise, right? And everyone they in the gym twice. Most of them doing 2-a-days. Like, they probably in the gym right now. They not watching the show. You know what I'm saying? They gonna be right. And nobody wants to be that dude. You know what I'm saying? Nobody want to be the fifth dude with the belly. You know what I'm saying? You walk in, people like, okay, I see you work. Okay. And they be like, oh, okay then. Mr. No Sit-Up. So I'm trying to get right, man. I'm trying to get myself right. You know, I don't want to be the fifth flab wheel. You know what I'm saying? I know my homeboy, they work out, do their thing. But anyway, plus it's for health reasons. You know, I say that, but yeah. I say that jokingly, but it's for health reasons too. This just gives me a reason to, you know, get back to where I want to be, get back straight or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So in a cruise, and then we going to the Bahamas or whatever. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm not going to be out there with my shirt off, baby doiled up or nothing, but, you know, I'm going to go out there. I might flex.
I mean, that does sound tempting right there, fella. You gave your viewers some exciting stuff.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I might go out there and do a couple push-ups and flex on them and be like, hey.
There you go. Yeah. Be out there in front of the Atlantic. Yep, get out there in front of the Atlantis and take some photos.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Be like, hey.
So Ed, did you bring any cocktail, any drink to the pod today?
I did not. I will say for your viewers, just Google Presidente beer. That's like the beer of DR. There's nothing like it. It's like goes like water down here. I wish I would have had a bottle for you, but I was unprepared for when I sat down. But that would be my drink of choice, really.
All right, cool. Presidente. So if I get down to the DR and come check it out one time, I'll make sure that I put a Presidente on the menu Because I mean, you let me know. You ain't gonna got me wrong. So we'd be good to go. I had to hit that Presidente. So you know, we got a little strawberry mule out here. My man had the Truly Tito's. And you know, if you ever in a DR and you want a beer, drink Presidente. You know what I'm saying? That was you know, they need to pay me. They need to pay me.
They need to pay for that one. That was quick. We need to get an ad for that, El Presidente.
Hey, y'all, that was the drink of the day.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
I want to make sure that y'all remember, subscribe, hit the bell, friend, follow. We on all streaming platforms at Mint Ketchup. Plus, you can see our movie ready faces. You know what I'm saying? We ain't got radio faces out here. We got them TV movie ready faces here at YouTube. Check us out. You know what I'm saying? We good out here. So come check us out. Hang out with us. Make sure that you share that. You know what I'm saying? Don't be stingy. I know we're beautiful. Don't be stingy. Share. You got to share with everybody out here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Tell everybody about it.
Tell us about it. So we going to kick this off. My man Big Ed doing big things out here. Look, background. I have a little background on you. You know, Latino from the DR. Talk to me, because I know you started your military career. You had a lot of moving going around, things of that nature. And end up being a pilot for our great nation, and then continuing to pilot Americans and international around this world. You know, it's like, what was the thing that started you off in that path and seeing and wanting to be a pilot? Talk.
So my parents came over. My father came over in the late 60s. He was a cabbie for 30 years. My mother came over in like the mid 70s. She was a caretaker of elderly people. And I say that, you know, first generation American, grew up in Brooklyn, New York. Every summer we'd go to DR, you know, whether that was American Airlines, United, et cetera. And I would always be begging my parents, hey, let me sit at the window, because that was my thing. I like looking out the window. I like looking at the clouds, looking at the sky. You know, I was a dreamer. That's how that dream started. I was like, you know what? One of these days when I'm older, I'm going to be up there in that cockpit. And I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me, but I didn't care. I was just like, hey, I saw that uniform. And I told myself, well, hey, that's what I'm going to do. And for those New Yorkers out there that, you know, are part of your broadcast, like New Yorkers, especially 80s, 90s, like we were dreamers. You know, that's what we grew up with the American dream alive and well. That's that was like the thing, you know, you dream it, you can do it. So that's how I came up. And just starting off, I really couldn't afford to go to college. I couldn't afford to do that. Do the path maybe traditionally and go spend that money and go fly. So I had to join the service, and I did that at 17. Of course, you know, recruiters, you guys know, some of your viewers probably know, recruiters don't always tell you the full truth. You know, they tell you, oh yeah, you know, I'll make you a pilot, no worries. 17 year old, no college degree, just got out of high school. Oh yeah, I've got you. I'll put you in that cockpit. You just got to do a little something for me first. So I had to go be a jet engine mechanic for almost 10 years, work on my degree, night school, stuff like that. Crossed over, they still don't want me to do it. So I had to be a navigator for a couple of years, for about 5 years before they'd let me be a pilot. And then again, another 10 years, these last 10 years as a pilot, which have been some of the greatest parts of my career. I loved it all day, not just the flying, but you know, the people that we meet along the way, the travels. And that's how I've got to today, almost 25 years later.
Man, fantastic, man. Like overcoming all those obstacles. Like, what was one of the, I would say, you know, I mean, hey, this podcast, we got hosts, they're all Black, right? You know, and knowing that everybody in different avenues have obstacles to overcome, you know what I'm saying? Especially as you start to get into those more niche, I would say, careers, you know what I mean? So like being, you know, not only Latino, but being a Black man, like what was some of the obstacles or an obstacle that stuck out that you were able to overcome, even though it was very trying?
Just that those barriers to entry, those invisible, those covert barriers. And it's hard to even talk about, to be honest. Like you look at people, I'll give an example. There's a good interview out there with Morgan Freeman and Don Lemon, you know, how he says, hey, you know, how are we going to overcome racism? You know, is it talking about it or just doing something about it? Well, you kind of get stuck on those two sides. Like, how much do I fight? You know, how aggressively can I fight loud, or do I fight with my performance? So like that first barrier, just even going from enlisted to officer, they denied me that first time. My chain of command, those people around me didn't see me and this is my opinion, they didn't see me as equal to all the other applicants. I didn't deserve maybe that help from them. But sure enough, you know, like humanity and you know, at the core, we're not all bad. So those people left, another group of people came in, and those people saw value in me and helped me cross over. So just sometimes you got to be right place, right time, working for the right people. But definitely just people in general, you know, we're a subset of society in the military, and just overcoming those prejudices that, you know, people just don't tell you to your face. But they're there, you know, they prove it to you day in and day out, every day.
Yeah, for sure. Razine, you got anything?
Yeah, man. I commend you, man, on everything you've done. And I say that in the way of, you know, first of all, you're a black man, regardless. You're a black Latino on top of that. I was in DR, man, and it was such a beautiful place. And I was so happy to be there because even like, for example, even I was there, people started talking to me in Spanish, you know, and I was like, I don't know Spanish. I'm, you know, I'm American or whatever, or I'm, you know, so, and it was like, you know, so inviting. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah. So as an inviting people, man, it's just like, and it was just so amazing seeing that culture, man. It looked like me, but wasn't necessarily me. You know what I'm saying? So, but my question for you is, man, it's like, for me being a black man, just for example, me being a black man going into a situation to where I know that they're not looking at me the same, but they expect higher expectations from me to be successful. How does that work? How does that feel for you as a man of color, especially, and then on top of that, a Latino man of color, if I'm saying that right. You know what I'm saying? So you're pushing two obstacles at the same time. How did that come into play in your success in being a pilot of 25 years?
It was just flat out honest. It was very frustrating. It took a lot of growth, maturity, aging to just get over that, suck it up sometimes, kind of do what the military tells you to do, and deal with those negative emotions, negative actions from people. You just have to get over it. You have to find ways to perform in adversity. You will get beat down over and over again. You will get told that you're not good enough. You will get, you know, obviously treated different than your peers. A good example of this for me was when I upgraded to evaluator, and I won't say the location, you know, to protect people, but my peers were 2 years less experienced than I was, but they were of a different skin color. And in my opinion, that had a huge influence on the matter of getting upgraded to evaluator. So I had to go to my commander and ask, why haven't you upgraded me when I'm the most experienced person you have? And they flat out told me, I forgot about you. I forgot about you. So, you know, it's moments like that you just have to, like, you know, get that dirt off your shoulders and say, okay, I got it. This sucks. I'm going to move on. I'm going to do what I got to do and move on.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Yeah, that's tough. That's a tough situation. And I know, you know, it's the specs. I can see the specs. The specs are there. Like, you see the specs everywhere, you know what I'm saying? Because you know, I give this analogy. The carpet is all one color and you see the specs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen that. You're right. One thing that, you know, I'm very appreciative that you did for me. You know what I'm saying? My son decided to join the military. And the first person that I talked to about and he wants to be in the same situation that you're in, same shoes, wants to follow that path of becoming an officer, becoming a pilot. And I was like, hey, would you sit down with my son and be able to kind of talk to him through his experience, through your experience, avenues and pathways, see if you can see anything that he may have weaknesses on and things like that. And I really appreciate you doing that. Like, what other situations have you had to be that mentor, to be that guiding light for other minorities that are looking to follow in your footsteps? And how does that make you feel being able to do that for people?
I mean, what other situations? First off, I've had people across my career, even when I was enlisted and, you know, NAV pilot, that have approached me. A lot of times it's because they are minorities, both male and female, not just Black, Asian, Indian, et cetera, like from all races. It's really just, it's almost that collective fact that you don't see a lot of people that are non-white in those careers. So they definitely tend to hone towards you. What advice have I given them over the years is similar to what I've shared in your broadcast. It's really overcoming adversity. Things will not work out the way you want them to. That is unfortunately not life. And on top of that, you have to make a plan, keep a plan. That's what I told your son as well. And that's what I've shared for probably over two decades. Life will happen. Babies are born. People die. You know, life will take you off the path and you need to find a way to bring yourself back to where you want to be. That's really my number one thing that I would tell people.
Man, oh, man, well said, man. It's crazy that you're saying this, man. Cause honestly, man, first of all, like I said, again, well said. I tell people all the time, I do cybersecurity and there's not a lot of us in cybersecurity. Work for the government. So there's not a lot of us in cybersecurity that work for the government. So, you know, and the problem is that we have to show up. And there's a couple situations that I won't say, talk specifically about situations, but there's a couple situations that there were other people, you know, in our position and in the same position I'm in, of the same color. But, you know, you have to show up. You have to do what you are paid to do. First of all, you were hired to do. You have to be true to who you are. So if I say this because a lot of people come, for example, an interview. You step into an interview. Me as a Black man, I come in, I'm suited up, boom. I sit in front of the board and I say, hey, you know, this is what I'm gonna bring to your company. This is what I'm gonna do, right? And when they hire me and I show up for work, you know, when I start to become someone that I wasn't in the interview, or when I start and end up losing my position, or I get looked at in a certain way, then, you know, then I'm mad because, you know, now it's a discrimination thing. Well, they're discriminating against me, but no, they're not, you know, and I try to tell, especially young adults, young men of color, that when you go somewhere, show up, be there, be that person that you say you're going to be when they hired you. And because it's not always going to be apples and oranges. I mean, I'm sorry, roses or whatever. It's not always going to be what you think it's going to be. I mean, I've had a situation to where I've trained the guy that they chose to be in charge. You know what I'm saying? I trained that guy. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. But guess what? I had to stay true to who I am in my profession. I stay professional at all times. I show the level of professionalism that I have, and, you know, you'll shine, you know, sooner or later you're going to shine. And like you were saying earlier, you know, when somebody says, oh, we forgot about you, you know, you can't take that and, you know, lay down with it. You can't go lay down and say, well, I'm not doing this no more because they say they forgot about me. I'm pretty sure, like you said, you continue to be who you are. You became the man that you are. You continue to fly high. And, you know, that shows the character of who you are, man. And I commend you on that for real.
Thank you.
But I did have a question. I do have a question. And it's gonna sound crazy, but as a pilot, you know what I'm saying? Because, look, I'm not scared to fly. I would definitely be scared to fly a plane. You know what I'm saying? Was there a situation ever in your career that you felt like I'd have fucked up? You know what I'm saying? I'm flying this plane and, you know, shit, I'd have fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, what am I doing up here? Like, how did I get up here? You know, type of situation. Because I feel like I would crash a plane. I ain't going to lie to you. I feel like that's my destiny in life. And I say that because this. I do, and I'm going to let you answer the question. So I do weapon simulators, right? I'm a cybersecurity for weapon simulators, and I won't go into detail because of the classification levels. But I've been in a simulator before, right? And they say, hey, try the simulator out. And it was an aircraft or whatever. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm about to kill this. You know what I'm saying? This is just like Call of Duty. I'm going in. No, I crashed the damn. And I said that if this is a real plane, I'll be dead and or millions of dollars. So my question is, have you ever been in a situation where you felt like, you know, this is not going to end well?
There's a couple. One that I could share from recent memory is, you know, if you're in the Tampa area, especially in the summer, it's like thunderstorms, right? And, you know, if you're in Tampa, you just know it's like 4 o'clock. All right. It's that time. It's going to be nasty.
Yep.
So we're coming back from the Middle East, and I was coaching somebody through how to be a new aircraft commander, how to be that left seat pilot type person. And I kind of let it go a little too far because the people who control us around Tampa were telling us, hey, you know, there's two sides to a runway, and I don't want to insult your intelligence or your viewers, but there's a 5 and 2 3 at MacDill. Well, they couldn't make up their mind. They couldn't make up their mind where they were going to send us. They sent us to one. They're like, oh, change their mind, send us to another. After 3 times, we start getting low on fuel. We actually make it down. Now we can't even see the runway. This person was not capable of landing the plane in those conditions. And I let it get to a point where we encountered wind shear. And it was that oh shit moment. All right, change your diapers, people. We're not doing that again. So I'm happy to share that one. On the next one, I took it and we finished it up. But that was probably one where I probably let go too far for the sake of training, education, confidence. But yeah.
I commend you on that, brother. Hey, my hat's off to you, man, for real. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've wrecked the simulator, and I kind of feel like that's it's enough for me.
I got one more, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, the military life, you know what I'm saying? You can stand up, be like, at ease, shut the hell up, or whatever in the plane. But, you know, you going to the civilian side, you know what I mean? So now, how you going to deal with the unruly? You know, everybody sees it on Instagram, be it on TikTok, where you got folks in the back, like, I gotta get off the plane. They just start punching people and wilding out and stuff like that. So like, you know, like now you're gonna have to deal with regular folk, you know. You know what I'm saying? Like, regular folk be tripping. They maybe, you know, they may have took something before they got on the plane. Too many different medicines together. They may have like
this. I got you.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So how you going, you know what I'm saying? You gotta come on the radio like, this is your commander. I wanted to make sure that everyone puts the seatbelts on it. Like, you know, have you practiced your flight commander voice? Like, things like that. Like, those little things. Have you been able to, like, okay, I got to do this part now?
I mean, I think all of us kind of, like, practice for that moment. Like that, you know, this is your captain speaking, you know, type thing. Now, as far as the unruly passenger, that scary moment, I've been asked this at several interviews, and really what I always come back to is empathy. Can I put myself in the shoes of somebody that decided to get high as a kite, you know, 30 minutes before they got to the airport or is on meth or some crazy drug? Yeah, it'd be difficult because I've never done that and I wouldn't do that. But you have to kind of try your best to put yourself in their shoes. Always remember that they're a human being and try to coach them down from that situation. And remember that you're not by yourself. I'm not the only one making that decision. I got a co-pilot or a captain with me. I got the flight crew in the back. So we can collectively come to a decision to, you know, help the person out passively, or, you know, do what they did at Spirit and like what, duct tape them to a chair or something. I think it's what they did to somebody a couple of years ago, but we would do that as a team.
This is your pilot speaking. This is your pilot Roger Ian speaking. To let you know his old fuzz. That is crazy, man. I commend you, man, because that career field, man, there's no room for error, man. So, man, I commend. So you're going to, so you're doing commercial, you're going commercial now?
Yeah, going commercial starting pretty soon, probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
So let me ask you this. I mean, I guess that's another question. So how much difference is commercial compared to what you were doing before?
Oh, Lord. It's night and day, simply because, and I'm not taking away from the difficulty of commercial pilots. It's just you're thinking about less. You're going from point A to point B. You know, take me from New York to PR to Puerto Rico. Take me from, you know, X to X. It's a lot different than a refueler, for example, where, hey, take off out of MacDill and you're going to give gas to these F-15s, and then I want you to divert into Maine or something. You know, it's just a lot more dynamic. You're not just thinking about getting to a destination. You got all that stuff in between.
Speaking of, so I was a fueler in the Army, and I got a chance to do a refuel, mid-air or whatever, refuel or whatever. I got a chance to actually, participate in one, because I was actually in training still, whatever. When I say whoever's flying that plane and those planes are amazing, like, I don't get it. I don't understand the concept. I think it's witchcraft, honestly. But to be
you're not alone.
Mid-flight. You know what I'm saying? It's just like I was actually in the pod, and I'm like, the control is like a video game. It's like, and I'm like, this is crazy. You know what I'm saying? But whoever was flying those planes, man, I commend you guys on every aspect of your career. Continue to thrive, man. Do what you do. You know what I'm saying? I can't say more to it, man. I'm not impressed by a lot, bro, but I'm definitely impressed by what you guys do and what you do. Keep doing it, man, for real. Real talk. Hey, drinking today.
Thank you so much.
Drink to my dog.
Yeah, man. I really
I got one now.
There you go. There you go. Hey, I really appreciate you, man. And I know that, you know, you just began your retirement. You know what I'm saying? You're taking some time, taking care of your family. Another good thing about a good person, man. You know what I'm saying? Taking care of mom and dad. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always, that's depth. Care of mom and dad is always a thing that, you know what I'm saying, is a commendable of a good person. And so you down there taking care of family. And, you know, we'll have a tea time when you get back up here, you know, all day.
Yeah.
So, man, I really appreciate you coming on the podcast, man, and giving inspiration to people. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, we try to make sure that we are highlighting people that are doing great things, being professional, and happen to have our same skin color. You know what I'm saying? We want to make sure that we're highlighting these things, you know what I'm saying? Because that's always a big thing for everybody that's out here. So we really appreciate you, man. I know you got things to do. And make sure you take care of that family and enjoy that time before you got to go out here and, you know what I'm saying, worry about the unruly's and whatnot. So we really appreciate you, man. And you have a good one. Hey, man, everybody,
thank you.
Applause for
thank
my
you
man,
so much
Big
for having
Ed.
You guys, thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
All right, man. Now we about to get to the good stuff. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that was the good stuff. That's the inspirational stuff. But as you can see, if you're watching us on that YouTube, you know what I'm saying, we only bring, you know what I'm saying, pretty motherfuckers on the show. You know what I'm saying? We don't put ugly ass people on the show. You know what I'm saying?
I appreciate it.
I got my man Jody up in the building, you know what I'm saying? And now we about to start some real stuff. We about to talk our shit now. You know what I'm saying? We got the professionalism out the way.
You still on vacation?
No, I'm home now.
No, he back. He back.
Okay, okay. Just living his best life. Okay.
Yeah. Like, oh, hey, shit. Look, I'm about to be out there next month. I'm about to be out in Vegas next month. We turning up. You know what I'm saying? Cinco de Mayo. We about to be out there wild.
Okay.
It's gonna be a good time. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So we gonna start it off. We hitting it up. We off of the interview part. Now we about to kick it for everything right here. We got that K. We got that K Dot and that J Cole, man. We bringing it in right now. So. All right, let's go. If you don't know, you about to know. So last week, you know what I'm saying, we let you know, hey, Kendrick Lamar, a.k.a. King Kunta, a.k.a. K-Dot, decided, hey, I'm about to fire back at these dudes, man. They trying to hit me up like COD, you know what I'm saying, first-person shooter. So now I got to come back, hit them snipes, mainly at Drake. J. Cole happened to be on the song, so I got to give you a little bit because you ain't Andre 3K, and you decided that you wanted to talk about you as the greatest, so he had to go ahead and give him a little something. So then J. Cole decided, I'm gonna come out with the Super Sneak album before the Dreamville Festival, and I'm gonna give you the 7-minute drill, and we're gonna talk about, he gave a whole song for a verse, and we're gonna, you know, see everybody's perspective on how that went. So Rajin, man, talk to me. We're gonna talk about this J. Cole, K. Dot songs first, and then we'll talk about you know, what has transpired a couple days ago next. So Rajin, man, who do you think as of right now, you know, just based on the songs, just based on the information, just based on how everything played, who do you think had the title for this little round one?
Man, no doubt J. Cole had the title, bro. Like, honestly though, like, real talk, like, in my opinion, I mean, I look at it like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if K-Dot came with a verse and then J. Cole dropped the whole song or whatever. Mm-hmm. I feel like he's gonna come with it. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? You're gonna come when he came with it. He's like, okay, well, listen, because you're talking to, I mean, not talking to, but you're talking about two heavy hitters. This is the second Jay-Z Nas coming. This is the second LL Cool J Kumo D coming. This is the second 50 Cent, you know what I'm saying? Ja Rule coming.
Don't say that.
You know what I'm saying? But what it I'm ain't saying that. Is, it's like, but I'm man, just, I'm just saying, I'm, I, my point is, J. Cole came with it, bro. Like, real talk. And I, so that's my opinion.
Okay. All right. Well, Jody, man, talk to me, man. What do you think about the J. Cole K. Dot as of song wise? Which one you like? All right. Yeah. He gave it.
I feel like Kendrick was more sporadic. J. Cole was more thought out. His was more wittier and more thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like the J. Cole. I like J. Cole's verse.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I happen to be in the other camp. I'm in the camp of I listened to J. Cole's multiple times. And the part that got me is, you know, we come from the Nas, the Ether. You know, the Jay-Z, we come from, to hit him up, the Biggie. You know what I'm saying? We talking about those type deals. But they coming at each other and you like, I'm going to give it to you, right? In none of those battles did anybody say you were ever better than me. Ever. None of them ever said, hey, I'm you better than me during that. That was the part of where I was like, I mean, J. Cole was like, hey, I was chasing you. You was better than me. You was running it. You was at the top. Like, I've never heard that in a battle, which it feels like, man, that's not necessarily the best go. Also,
then you come into,
I mean, I let y'all do your thing. And then I come into, all right, well, now it comes into a battle of opinion when you start talking about J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar's album. So now you come into an opinion about Kendrick Lamar's albums with the folks. Because then you go, all right, well, accolades was there. Not that it wasn't accolades. It just comes down to opinion. And it's not like Kendrick Lamar ain't got fans from Kendrick Lamar, right? So then it's like, all right, well, accolades, plays, he did his thing. So then I started thinking like, all right, well, that's kind of, I don't know, false a little bit. That would just, you know what I'm saying? Like, so you talking about that stuff to me was kind of false. Yeah, the second half of that song, nice, put together, great rhymes. I mean, J. Cole can flow. There's no doubt about it. But some of the stuff that he was putting in there, I was like, for a diss, I was like, I can't be like, yo, you better than me. And then you left to take care of your family and wasn't saying nothing. And I just decided to make a whole bunch of raps and make sure that I was killing all the people that I was on songs with. And then you come back and you were able to still kind of rile me up all the way that I changed the way that I freaking act based on our future segment. So I'm like, man, he must have did something for him to be not it. K-Dot must have been that guy, because it's not that his verse wasn't trash. It wasn't like it was trash. My man had double and triple entendres the way that he was laying stuff down. So that's just my opinion on the rhyme. I mean, his J. Cole's joint was dope as well, but I just feel like K-Dot came with the, if we in a rap battle and we looking at each other and K-Dot says what he says and J. Cole says what he says, I like just the aggression, I'm about to give it to you. And it's not like he said nothing. He said some fire shit. So that's just my opinion.
So when you asked us this question, you specifically told us to say a certain thing. Mm-hmm. And that's why I didn't elaborate.
Well, elaborate.
So when you talk about, like, for example, somebody saying, you were better than me. Perfect example. When that Machine Gun Kelly and Eminem battle, you know, Machine Gun Kelly said that Eminem was better than him. You know what I'm saying? Which he did.
L.
You know what I'm saying? He took an L for that. But at the same time, if you think about it, who else was better than who? You know what I'm saying? It's like Nas, Jay-Z's not better than Nas, of course. You know what I'm saying? Who else? LL and Kumo D. When it first started, that's around, you know what I'm saying? Kumo D wasn't better than LL. You got 50 Cent, Ja Rule. Ja Rule wasn't better than 50 Cent. You know
what I'm saying? At the time, more popular, Ja Rule was. But you have to
understand this, though. Like, the artist that J. Cole is, he's always kept it 100. You know what I'm saying? And I think that's what people like about J. Cole. J. Cole keep it 100. J. Cole really never had no beef with nobody. You know what I'm saying? And when you got legends battling, what do you say? You got two legends. You know what I'm saying? You got legends battling. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, not taking nothing away from K-Dot. You know what I'm saying? But J. Cole, you know what I'm saying? He's like I said, he said what he said. He's like, listen, you know, he basically put it in a way that I didn't want to have to kill my own brother, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is my dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, that verse about Nino Brown. That was a nail in the coffin. You know what I'm saying? That was a nail in the coffin. Like, Nino would kill, you know, I'm killing my brother. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, I'm crying. You know, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? But I will say this. I will say that, you know, as artists, you know, and current artists, there's nobody. I mean, that's not too many other artists that could, like Drake. Drake's not in this battle. You know what I'm saying? Like Drake. I don't even know why Drake named him. Well,
it was really Drake. That's who K-Dot was going after.
But think about it. Drake ain't said that. Drake pick his battles. You know what I'm saying? He pick his battles. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, he didn't TKO'd a couple of cats, but he pick his battles too. He know damn well he not on that level. And what got me was, it's like, for example, Future. Future's not, I mean, Future to me, like a lot of, you know, in my age now, I'm not a Future fan. I know a lot of cats that are. A lot of my boys, they love Future. You know what I'm saying? I'm not a Future fan like that. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm not saying he's bad. It's just not, I'm just not a fan. You know, you get what I'm saying? But I don't feel like he is, you know, he's collateral damage. You know, he's having to be, you know, he's having to have a song that K-Dot dropped on. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, Future's my guy. But I just feel like there's certain people that, in this situation, J. Cole and K-Dot, perfect matchup.
Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? For sure.
Perfect matchup.
So Jody, since you was in the comments, You want to verbalize what you talk about, man?
I mean, I just like Future. I like the music. I like the stuff he say. It's just Future is just as toxic in his music as he is in real life. And it's purely entertainment for me. Future say some wild stuff and they be like, bruh, this man be spitting. You know what I'm saying? Like, that nigga made a song like about Scottie Pippen's wife, and that nigga was like, I just hit your bitch in some Gucci flip flops. And I'm like, bruh. Song, right? You know what I'm saying?
It's the drama. Why you
got beef against Scottie Pippen? Scottie Pippen ain't no rapper. He didn't
know. I said one time. He said he asked him for an autograph, and he said no. Or he was like Magic. He's like Magic City. I'm the owner, and he was like, tell Steve Harvey, I don't wanna. And I was like, I said this nigga trip.
The thing is, like, if you're doing that, all you're doing is freaking you TMZ. You TMZing. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. I mean, like, everybody gonna chase. If you in the cameras, you everybody gonna chase TMZ. And if he's doing that all the time, all he is TMZ. You know what I'm saying?
Future is purely entertainment. I like Future. I like the stuff he say. I think the shit he say is funny. And yeah. That's about it. But as far as this
yeah, go ahead.
I don't think Drake is gonna respond, because I don't even know where it came from. I think the one thing a lot of us is like, bro, what did this come from, bro? Like, what did Drake and J. Cole do to you, K. Dot? Like, what did they do to you? A lot of people, like, because they don't know where the beef came from. Right, I kind of think that's a big part of why J. Cole is kind of like, you know what, I said something, but like I'm gonna recant that, because you know what, bro, I got better things to worry about than beefing with you, my boy.
Yeah, and I think it's a situation, as of if you dive into kind of the history of a lot of stuff going on, although I kind of thought it was weird, hey, you took a break and belittling somebody for, like, spending time with their family. I was kind of like, all right, well, that's a thing, I guess. But every time he show up, when he show up, he show out. Like, for some reason... You know what I'm saying? If he was gone so long that nobody cared, but why when he comes back, it's a thing where
because
he seems to get accolades.
It's controlling your music. It's like when you don't put a bunch of stuff out, people kind of like supply and demand. Like when you don't put a bunch of stuff out, people are gonna gravitate the moment you put something out.
Yeah.
And let's not say not even all your stuff is that great. It's just that we haven't dropped an album in 3 years. So that's why we're flocking to the album. And it can even be mid.
It makes it cherishable. But that's the thing. But the thing is like we've got so used to Drake showing up on every little. Yes, he's gotten a lot of money. No doubt. No, if everybody about their money, man, the Drake plan is what you do. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, you hit the wave and then you ride every little that you can. You know what I'm saying? To make money, right? And knowing that the littles can't rap. Drake is not a mediocre rapper. He's a good rapper. So if he's a good rapper and he can out-rap the little, then it makes it like, oh, he's so cold. But when he goes against rappers,
make sure you clarify to everybody on the show what you mean by the littles.
The littles, if you listen to hip hop, you know who the littles are. I mean, well, everybody except for Lil Wayne, because he put them up. But all the after littles, you know what I'm saying? Because Lil Wayne was like the original little, and then you got all the copycat littles that came out after that. They all like can't do it. You know what I'm saying? So when you have somebody like, think about this. When you have somebody like Andre 3000, won a Grammy this year. He won a Grammy on Mike, Killer Mike's album for that Scientist and Engineer. When they heard that verse, everybody was like, yo, that's fire, because it's a rapper. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was a rapper showing up, and we haven't had rappers show up like that. And our rappers of right now are K-Dot and J. Cole. Those are our rappers. And then the others that can rap, I like rappers like J.I.D. J.I.D.'s cold. I like him. You know what I'm saying? You got other rappers, but they don't get to shine, because as long as you ride that little wave, which Drake has he's perfected the little wave. I'm going to show up on every little album and make sure that I'm always there so I can get this money. And then people are putting you on a pedestal that you don't deserve. You know what I'm saying? See,
when you show up and you better than every nigga on the song.
Yeah. I mean, it's the littles though. But how many other dudes can show up and be better than the littles though? That's what I'm saying. Like, if you
How many dudes will show up and be better than the littles?
I mean, the littles is trying to make that money though.
Yeah, but then Drake
has done it so well that now he's the golden ticket. That's what I'm saying. Being, like, he made himself the golden ticket, so all the littles want to have him. So then all he does is do that. Well, if K-Dot decided, just like J. Cole, he became that dude that started killing the littles on their own song. And that made J. Cole rise. You know what I'm saying? Because he was really doing it. He killed freaking Drake.
Let me tell you why, though.
But if you're
Drake and you get on a song with K-Dot, J. Cole, Jordan Lucas, somebody, Lil Wayne, is exposed. You get exposed.
Yeah.
Like you get exposed. That's just like, you know what I'm saying? That's like, what's his name? Soulja Boy in the hood. Yeah. Everybody thugs, and some thug shit happen. You go to the hood, guess what? When shots fired, you get exposed. You don't want to be exposed. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to be exposed for the cat that you are, because, you know what I'm saying? In every song, you a thug. You know what I'm saying? But when them shots fired, you know what I'm saying? It's like everybody thugs, and some thug shit happen. That's my quote. You know what I'm saying?
And, Drake always, every time he in a beef, what Drake doing? He calling somebody else. Why that Pusha T thing stop? Because he calling somebody else. He ain't out there like, hit him up. He ain't doing that. He like, hey man, can you make this dude stop freaking kicking my ass?
He pick his battles. Like, you see how he didn't come and push a T like that.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? It's just like you pick your battle. You don't want to he didn't want a career ending verse. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? There could be a career ending verse, you know, from the right person. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying?
He did have a career ending verse. I don't know if y'all ever heard it, but like his beef with Ludacris put out a diss track, and I'm like, I think the only thing was that track didn't get enough traction, but it was kind of like
that's pretty much, yeah.
Brother Man, that bada boom, bada bang, or whatever that song was nice.
Yeah. I mean, Luda, everybody knew him from the movies instead of rapping at this point. You know what I'm saying? It was a little
think about different. Everybody you can think about that was on that level, they got a knockout punch. If she ain't gonna kill it, knockout punch. Ja Rule, knockout punch. You know what I'm saying? Kumo D back in the day, knockout punch. You know what I'm saying? It's cats that got knockout punches. You know what I'm saying? They came. Yeah. Only person who survived the knockout punch out to me was Meek Mill, because like I said, it's Meek. You know what I'm saying?
He survived long enough to land in Diddy's lap.
That's what I'm like. Did he survive though? I don't know.
Long enough to land in Diddy's lap.
Then there's female beef. That's like somebody got beef. Glow really got beef with somebody. Oh, see, one of the city girls or some shit.
That that beef different though. Like I read like. Bro, y'all just get in a tub of Jello and wrestle, bro.
That's what everybody want to see anyway.
Hey, nobody want to see no hit no damn track. I want y'all hoes to fight.
I look at it like this, bro. Real talk, like there's enough money out here for everybody to eat. I don't understand what the beef's about. You know what I'm saying? It's just like there's enough money for everybody to eat. You know, I don't know if it's pride,
black on black
crime. I don't know what it is, but I guarantee you, if J. Cole and K-Dot drop the song tomorrow, everybody going to get it. Everybody
hell yeah! But you know what would be better is if J. Cole and K-Dot drop the diss track on Drake. Now that thing would be fire. You'd be like, because how would Drake come back from that?
He can't come back.
He can't. That's what I'm saying. Like, he would get destroyed.
Drake has a strong enough fan base that you 6 months later and he do something else.
But the thing is that he's also in the Taylor Swift level, the Beyonce level of people, where it doesn't matter if it's trash.
So let me throw a curveball right now.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I say this one thing right quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
You talking about, you know what I'm saying, Drake out here with the littles and stuff, right? I feel like, listen, me and you, right? Me and you own the little, right? We own the little.
because we got these generic ass backgrounds and Roz got his whole goddamn thing. I thought that shit was generated for a minute. I'm like, damn, that shit look real as shit. And then I realized, no, that's this nigga's actual background. So now he littling us with the background. Yeah,
you ain't been on the pod in a minute. Hey, don't let me go outside. You know what I'm saying? I got a view too. You know what I'm saying? I'll make my stuff nice.
I'm just saying, Rise over here, boss up on us with this damn view. I'm kind of salty.
It's just more comfortable outside. That's all.
Hey, no, hold on. Hey, go in the house. That's what you can do. Go in the damn house. Right, showing up. The disrespect is astronomical, Ryan.
Hey, this is what we're talking about. Now, let's see how people respond to disrespect. And we're going to talk about J. Cole waving the white flag right now. You know what I'm saying? Somebody not call it the white flag. Hey, maybe he's playing to his inner self. You know what I'm saying? He was making sure that he was going back to himself. But J. Cole, you know what I'm saying, at the Dreamville Festival, decided, hey, he jumped up on stage and talked about how, based on the title of our podcast, it's not right with my spirit. You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't right with his spirit to be out there dropping fire bars and going battle toe-to-toe, you know what I'm saying, with one of the other heavyweights. You know what I'm saying? And he said it just didn't feel right. He said that, you know, based on his comments, that his friends and those that was in his camp was hyping him up. Hey, you need to do this. You need to do this. You need to do this. So it became a situation where, you know, that his peers influenced him. You know, I'm just basing this on the stat, his comments on stage, that his peers influenced him actually dropping this 7-minute drill and everything like that going at KDOT, and it's really outside of himself. So what do you think, Rajim, about... Yes, I see like a lot of people going, hey, the introspective, you know what I'm saying, knowing yourself and whatnot. But how do you, if you know yourself, get to the spot where you were leasing? Because that's not something that takes 2 minutes, 3 minutes. You got time to go like, man, this doesn't feel right. And you release the information like J. Cole did. So what do you think about J. Cole kind of, hey, apologizing and saying, hey, that's not really me, and so forth and so on, man. Go ahead, Rob.
I feel like this, man. Honestly, in real talk, you have to understand the level these cats are on. You know what I'm saying? Not only when we talk about beef, like, for instance, if I got beef with my brother and I pop off on him, I tell my other brother, it's between us three. You know what I'm saying? But when you got beef like this, this is worldwide. It's like, this is the world watching you, you know what I'm saying, crush somebody, literally crush somebody that you look up to or you was cool with. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like the same way, bro. Like, I can have an issue with my boy or my homeboy or whatever kind of beef. And, you know, I'm going to feel bad. Yeah, but if I look at it like this, you know, as a father, I showed you what I'm capable of. Now, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to show you love because we cool. I got respect for you. And I think it's a level of, you know, if you're from the streets, you know, it's a level of respect for different cats. And respect is huge. Whether you're from the streets, military, whatever, respect and loyalty, and it's always a huge thing, you know? And I feel like I do feel what he's saying. Like in my soul, like my loyalty and my respect, you know, for you was kind of tested because I had to body you. And that's what I feel like he bodied him. It's like, I'm gonna body you real quick. Let you know, let the world know that I'm capable of bothering you if I want to bother you. But guess what? I got respect for you. So check this out. You know what I'm saying? Let's not beef over this. You know, and it's two sides of every story. This could have been a setup for all of us because we all are we are a culture that's always down for some drama. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? We always want some drama. You know what I'm saying? We want the drama. We want the smoke. Like, you know what I'm saying? What are you gonna say? What are you gonna say? We waiting for some cat to say something. You know what I'm saying? That's how the industry works. You know what I'm saying? There's cats, there's industry plants in our industry right now that keep us targeted. You know what I'm saying? So my thing is this, and I think J. Cole probably thought the same thing. Why are, you know, two industry legends pretty much beefing over what? I got no beef with you. Like, what are we beefing over? You know what I'm saying? And I don't think it's a white flag. I don't think it's a surrender. I'm saying, I think he did what he did. He bodied him. And then he's like, hey, man, listen, I bodied you. He ain't saying that, but he said, I gave you that work. But guess what? You know what I'm saying? Just to let you know, you know what I'm saying? We still cool. You know, I got respect for you and the work that you've done. And like he said in his interview, he's like, man, he said, you know, it was against me to downplay, you know what I'm saying, all the, you know, everything that this man has done all over what? You know what I'm saying? Because it's art. And as an artist, man, you work hard to get, you know what I'm saying, where you're at in your career. You know what I'm saying? For somebody to come in and be like, hey, you ain't did, like you said earlier, hey, you know what I'm saying? He downplayed everything K Dot did. You know what I'm saying? And he knew that wasn't true. He knew everything he said. It was just, like I said, it's verses. You know what I'm saying? And when you got somebody with verses and lyrics, you know what I'm saying? And that's on your level. Because I feel like J. Cole and K. Dot on the same level. Everybody's always said that. It's like the beef between, everybody was talking about Kobe and Michael Jordan. You know, it's that beef. You know what I'm saying? It's always that drama for no reason. Like, people get mad when I say, oh, I'm cool. I like LeBron. You know what I'm saying? I like LeBron numbers. Everybody be like, LeBron this, LeBron that. LeBron got those stats. Whatever you want to say about LeBron, it is what it is. He's still a beast. You know what I'm saying? You can say what you want. You know what I'm saying? But you still can say it. So basically, the Drake, K. Dot, J. Cole situation is same thing as the Michael Jordan, LeBron, Kobe situation. You know what I'm saying? It's just like Kobe. I mean, LeBron can play Drake. You know what I'm saying?
He
can play
the Drake role. He got the stats.
You know what I'm saying? He got the stats. He can play the Drake role. You know what I'm saying? But then you got Kobe and LeBron, the greats. Why they beef? Why would Kobe and LeBron beef with each other? You know what I'm saying? So that's my take on it, man. I feel like as artists, man, as black men, as
I just wanted, you know, to get Jody. Just, like, I just wanted to get Jody to say something.
Don't be a hater.
I wanted the young boy to be out here like, what you doing?
Yeah, yeah. As leaders of the culture, man, I feel like, you know what I'm saying, we shouldn't be beefing anyway. So that's just my take.
All right, Jody, man, talk to me, man. What do you think about J. Cole's perspective on the whole situation?
So I'm gonna take a completely different turn. I feel like I'm gonna agree with Roz for the 10% by saying that, you know what I'm saying, he probably looked at that as his brother and he was like, bro, I'm not really trying to beef with my brother. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not that serious, bro. And I'm gonna say the other 90% is, nigga, I just ain't got time. Like, I'm not about to go back and forth with you. Like, I have this shit to do. You know what I'm saying? Like, I did that 7-minute drill and probably shouldn't have did that. You know? Like, I am not about to go back and forth with you. And I think for me, that's what it is. Like, you know what, bro? I love you, my brother. We two black men in this industry trying to make it on a different, because it's like it's rare that you find niggas rapping about shit they actually live. Like, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe, you know, J. Cole and K. Dot lying in their lyrics. So it's one of them things where it's like, you know what, two legends in the game. Like, bro, I'm not about to beef with you. And honestly, I think that was J. Cole's way of just saying, and nigga, I ain't got time. Like, I got other shit to do. You know what I'm saying? You ever had like you ever piss your little cousin off or your little brother off and they be trying to fight you and you're just like, bro, I'm about to go get on the phone and cake with this shorty. But I ain't finna fight with you right now. Catch me later. Like, I think that's what that was.
I mean, I would say that just in my perspective, I feel like maybe he took things a little personal on things that weren't for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, as of the conversation. And I feel maybe that was a conversation that even when that stuff came out, and it may have been camps that talked to each other, or maybe he reached out before he did the whole apology joint, like, yo, man, hey, I put this thing out. And then he talked to K-Dot, and K-Dot was like, hey, yo, I looked at it like, we the top two that's been doing the thing. We've been the ones that's actually been putting out real shit. And you teamed up with this dude that he already know that I've been beefing with. You know what I'm saying? Him and K-Dot, or J. Cole and K-Dot, have always been talking about, hey, possibly do an album. That's kind of subsided. But they've always had mad respect for each other. The person that, you know, K-Dot as an artist, J. Cole as an artist, you know what I'm saying? I don't think that they look at Drake as an artist. Drake would be the entrepreneur of the situation, right? You know what I'm saying? He's the one that sells the paintings. He's not the one that paints them. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm saying. Like, he like, yo, we artists, man. And he's like, because you teamed up with this dude, You know what I'm saying? Now you're gonna talk about it's the Super Bowl, knowing that we that. If they got together, you'd be like, it's the Super Bowl, because you got the best two teams joining up to do that. They're like, that's not him. You know what I'm saying? Like, he played the game. He did the math. He ain't really an artist like we are. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he may have been like, all right, well, I came at this dude, and that's why he was like clicked up. You know what I'm saying? Be real, 40 watt. Like, he like, hold up, what happened? You know what I'm saying? So I don't know.
I say this like this. I wouldn't necessarily say Drake isn't an artist, and I wouldn't necessarily say because that Drake isn't as good as J. Cole and K. Dot, because
I would.
Hold on. Hit me out. when you talk about like categories of rap, like lyrically, yes, I would definitely take J. Cole and K. Dot over Drake. Mm-hmm. But like far as style and staying relevant, Drake has mastered that from the first day he came out. Like, he has mastered staying relevant, right? And putting out good enough stuff to, you know, get to where he's at. And I will give him all the credit for staying relevant. Even remember, like, when Beyonce dropped that Afrobeats album and everybody went crazy, and then Drake turned around and dropped his, you know what I'm saying? And it was just like, that's this man saying, look, y'all ain't finna forget me. I'ma stay relevant. As soon as 21 Savage get hot, guess who got a song with? Drake, you know? And so,
but I don't think that's a, you know, I look at it like this. That's a, to bring somebody to the forefront. Hey, he happened to be running for president. That's a Trump way of doing things. I'm a piggyback. Hey, I didn't create anything. I'm a piggyback on
other people. There's a lot of talented people who ain't piggybacked enough.
You know what I'm saying? But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think the situation of how you become relevant or number one is not through your art, it's being seen. And it's just like likes. Like, hey, everybody's trying to get likes. It's not necessarily that you're doing something that's new, different, or amazing. It's that you got people to see you and like it. That's it.
Drake.
But that doesn't mean that you like it. And that's a particular skill. Not saying that that's not a skill. You know, in marketing, that's a skill. Like, being able to be a great marketer, that's a skill. But then you look at, like, all right, if you're going to go top rappers of the game, I would say, oh, Eminem can out-rap Drake right now. K-Dot. Right now, like, you got mad people that you could go, like, if I was saying I want to rap and I want to hear like great raps, I'm like, Drake is lower on the scale of rappers. Yes, song makers being relevant, hey, he has mastered that part of it. But of the art piece, he's not. I don't know if he's as of rappers that you go grab right now, top five. I don't know.
Lofton, I'm still listening to Lil Wayne mixtapes.
That's what I'm saying. I'm still listening to
Lil Wayne mixtapes, bro. So I agree with you.
You go, he's not the best even in his camp.
He's not. Hell, honestly, lyrically,
Nicki Minaj.
Lyrically, Nicki Minaj and Tyga have better lyrics.
That's what I'm saying. So that's what I'm like, all right, he's just master. He's a great marketer. And who else is a great marketer? You know what I'm saying? Like, he running for president. Like, that, he's great at that. And that's nothing to be sad about. But that doesn't make you the big three. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you know what? Hey, Lofton, if I had $280 million in my bank account, I wouldn't give a damn if I didn't make the Big 12.
Nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no qualms with going, hey, I got money.
Nick Cannon, the worst rapper alive, but he's rich as shit.
They ain't nothing wrong with that. Like, I have no quorum with that, but it's just, it becomes a thing when you go like, hi, I'm the, like, no, just stay in your lane, man. Talk about how sad you are when the chick wasn't there, and now you about to be, I'm going to go back. Like, do that. Do your thing. Do that. You know what I'm saying? Do that. Don't be talking about this as a soup. No, it ain't, because it's not the two best.
This man ain't it. Chose violence today. Hey, y'all finna get a shit ton of hate mail talking about Drake and the bad thing.
Hey, man.
Hey, Lofton, they're gonna be on your ass. Your podcast is gonna be canceled next week.
Hey, dog. I'm old. Look, I'm gonna blame it on being old, dog.
You gonna hit live and your shit gonna be like, nah, bro, you good.
Hey, no, hey, look, I ain't got no problems with it. It's all good. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, somebody gonna create, hey, them young boppers gonna create a Google account and put one star reviews on your shit. One
star reviews. Well, you know what I'm saying? What? Hey, all those people that put them one star reviews, you know what I hope you looked at? The daggone eclipse. So your eyeballs don't work no more. But anyway,
Mitsubishi
y'all out there? Did anybody check out the Mitsubishi eclipse that was in the sky yesterday?
Apparently, I was driving home from work and I missed it. It got a little dark and then it got back light again. And I was like, oh, okay, I must have missed it. I was driving down the road.
You know, I mean, here in Florida, it felt like it was a little manufactured. You know what I'm saying? You had to have the glasses and all that good stuff. But, you know, I have fam up in, you know, my home state. I'm a Hoosier. So up in Indiana, you know what I'm saying? They was out there.
Black people in Indiana?
They moved to Florida. I'm right here. You know what I'm saying? But
only two more.
I thought all the niggas left when the Jackson 5 left. Didn't they?
That's Gary. They was almost Chicago. You know what I'm saying? So it's all good. It's all good.
You know, I'm saying the whole dude name, Gary.
But you know what I'm saying? You had folks out there that got the full total eclipse and whatnot. I seen a couple of the videos. It's kind of dope, man. Like how it went down or whatever. It's supposed to be the next, I don't know, 40, 45 years or something that's supposed to happen. We may be dead next time it happens. But did y'all have participate at all or go check it out or, you know, say anything like that, Roger? Like,
not a damn thing. I don't give a shit. I was like, okay. Like, I guess I'm not that sentimental about the earth to worry about that shit. I don't know.
He said about the earth. What, you was just going out littering? You just literally like fuck the earth, nigga.
Like yeah, fuck the earth. I don't shit. I was like, I don't care how many rappers I kill.
Build my goddamn pool.
Build my pool.
Build my pool. Okay, how many fucking rabbits and earthworms I kill? Build that goddamn pool.
Just saying. I was like, hey, I didn't get it. I'm like, we ain't never had the lights turned off at the house. That's an eclipse every time, bitch. I got nothing. I don't know. Nothing happened. Like when I was out and about when this shit happened. I'm like, I didn't even realize it was happening, man. Like nothing really. Yeah. I was expecting the whole earth to shut down and the shit to get dark and then nothing happened at all. It was at 58%. Like that ain't shit. Yeah. Like what is, like it's still trying to figure out. First of all, I feel it's a hoax. You know what I'm saying? I think it's a hoax. I'm finna start some shit now. It's a hoax. Like, anytime you go outside and you can see the sun and the moon at the same time, it's a hoax. Like, I don't know. It was like this.
It was an LED really screen. Exist.
Yeah, this shit is made up.
Didn't that white dude land on it and never land back again?
Yeah, ain't nobody landing the moon. What is moon and it don't even exist. I'm gonna tell you that now. The shit. And since somebody told me to move,
these are not the thoughts spins, of the Make Catch Up podcast. We do believe.
Yeah, so I'm just gonna keep it crazy. Like the Earth spins 1,100 miles per hour, bitch. I was like, really?
It's faster than that, but you know,
like, it's 1,100 something miles per hour. That's
the International Space Station goes, like, I don't know, like 17,000 miles an hour around the Earth.
Yeah, that's gonna be doing some bullshit. I think this is some bullshit.
Science, y'all. Figure it out. You know what I'm saying? Do something more than look at, you know, Instagram. Y'all be good. It'll be all right. TikTok. Yeah. Find some, some science TikTok.
Everybody and mama took a picture of the eclipse. Everybody. From different places in the state.
Even though they said their phones would break.
Yeah. Everybody had. You got Samsung's, iPhones, all kinds of shit. I'm telling you now, everybody who got a Samsung phone and took a picture of the eclipse, you know, change your shit. It's terrible pictures. I'm telling you that now.
Well, I'm gonna switch it up right now. You know, something else that doesn't come along that often is daggone. Y'all gotta know that Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes, and Ciara about to go on tour. So get your ticket. I'm gonna get my ticket. Timberland gonna be there too. And he coming to Tampa. They coming to Tampa, man. July 24th. I'm about to get my tickets. If y'all, you know what I'm saying, want to see Missy Elliott, hey, she's she's a Hall of Famer. You're gonna see some Hall of Fame people and things of that nature. Man, go check it out, man. I'm just putting it out there. Roz is the new Kyrie Irving. That's what I heard. Somebody said that in the comments. You know what I'm saying? You have understanding flat earth and it, doing it up. The moon don't exist. It's all a fraud.
Yeah, moon is a fraud. It's bullshit. Yeah, moon is a fraud. Yeah, don't believe that shit.
All right, man. Roz, man. We gonna keep it rolling, man. You know what I'm saying? So if y'all like Missy Elliott, man, hey, go check it out. All those ticket joints, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna get there. If y'all happen to be in the Tampa area, I'm gonna be at that joint.
Name that joint the Senior Citizen Tour. That bitch started 6, done by 9. Hey,
look, Walton, that worked.
Walton gotta be in bed.
That worked for me. That worked for me, though. I'm like, I ain't gonna be mad at all. Like, hey, that works for me, man. That's good stuff. So, hey, Roz, man. Hey, hit us up.
All the toilet stalls got the pull bar in them, so you don't have to get up. You can push the pull bar. You go to the bathroom, it's gonna be a brother there, like, hey, brother, man, here you go, here, paper towel, got you. Brother,
the club in Germany, yeah. You know what's up? Yeah. Hey, you got the cologne dude in there, you know what I'm saying? Drop a Deutschmark on him, like, what's
up? Yeah, put that juke on the car in that bitch.
Hey, why you bullshitting? A couple weeks ago, I was out and I found a bottle of juke and I bought it. I have a bottle of juke. I swear to God.
There you go.
I have a bottle.
If I was you, I'd hide that shit. Matter of fact, you might want to save it. It might be a collectible later on.
Listen, I swear to you. I swear I got that mug.
Just like that damn Old Spice by Menon.
Hey, Rajim, I'm going to go ahead and push to Black Excellence, man. I know you sent me the deal for Serena Williams. So, hey, talk to us about this Black Excellence for Serena Williams out here getting it done.
Yeah, Serena Williams, look, he got juke for real. You got the pink bottle. You supposed to have a purple bottle. So, yeah, man, with Serena Williams, man, it's like apparently she's invested. Every company she's invested in has reached can't remember what status it's called, but it's on a different level. Hold on. But she, like, all her companies that she's invested in, she's like so many $1 billion invested. And I know they're part owner of what, the Miami Dolphins, I think it is. Serena's event in Venice. So, man, shout out to the Williams sisters, man. They're doing big things, man. I invested in Bitcoin and damn, they broke shit. So I'm just saying, whatever y'all doing, I need to. My cryptocurrency ain't making shit. So I need to motherfucker start making some money. Let me see. It's a fraud. I'm investing in the moon.
Hey, that's wild. That nigga don't believe in the moon, but believe in cryptocurrency.
Yep.
Yeah.
Straight invisible money.
$200 on cryptocurrency. I made $200 last week on cryptocurrency, so it gotta be doing something.
$200. You can make more. You can make more at what's that joint? Freaking the Hard Rock, nigga. Get the Hard Rock Bet app. Hold up, I'm doing another commercial. Hard Rock Bet app. You know what I'm saying? Do some sports betting and make you some money.
What they say, legal in Florida.
Yep, there you go. Legal in Florida. You know what I'm saying? Represent. Man, we should really get some sponsors. I'm doing well. I'm doing really good on these freaking
promos. Man. You send a shout out to all the people in the AO. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna hit up NASA and ask them about the moon because I don't believe in the moon no more. It's old for me. I don't believe in the moon. It's old for me. So anyway, like shout out to Serena Williams, man, for all her investments, man. She's doing amazing things. Like I say, she's not just a tennis player. You know, so according to her investments, I think I can't remember how many billions it is, but it's like
billions?
she has some billions in, like, she's made money.
Yeah, some billions. She made money. Yeah. Like, nigga.
Yeah.
Also, she married into billions because the day when white she married already got dope. You know what I'm saying? So
Reddit,
she good.
Yeah, the dude on Reddit. Yeah.
Yeah, she good. Man. She good. I think Serena's doing all right, man. She made out for herself. Yeah. She's making a whole bunch of dough, and she just added to the stockpile.
Of course. That's
like,
that's crazy. You know what I'm saying?
I'm a champion, a stallion, and a billionaire. You know what I mean? So yeah. She's throwing it up. Yeah. And that's real. I don't think that's a BBL.
That's real. Yeah, although she messed her lips up, she didn't mess her face up.
Oh,
She got some stuff in her face that ain't.
She looked like her daddy a little bit.
She ain't natural no more. She got some stuff done in the face. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Well, it's been a daggone good show. And what we always do, we got to make sure we take care of our vets and those that are out there, man. So we got to make sure that, you know, if you're going through some things, if you have some issues, some trials, some tribulations, we want to make sure that that you get through them and you don't feel like there's no exit to everything that's going on. And we don't want you to take the wrong path. You know what I'm saying? You always wanted to touch base with family, friends, they're there to support you. But if for some reason they're not able to meet your needs and you feel like you can't take it anymore and want to be out of there, that's not the right way to go. You need to make sure that you hit up the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. You got to be here, and you are important, and you got people that love you and that want you to be around. You got to make sure that you do that. Take care of yourself. The only way you fix your problems is that if you're here. Not being here doesn't solve the problem. It doesn't make it go away. It just moves it on to other people and your family and your friends to try to take care of the problem while you're not here. So make sure you hit up that National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 800-273-TALK, 800-273-8255. Go ahead, Ross.
Yeah, let me elaborate on that too. Don't be too cool to ask for help. You know what I'm saying? I know us as black men, we tend to be too, our pride keeps us from asking for help. You know what I'm saying? You know, it doesn't make you weak, it doesn't make you less of a man. Ask for help. You know what I'm saying? Talk to your friends, talk to your family, talk to your doctor, get your, you know what I'm saying? If you go to the VA, there's all kind of help at the VA. You know what I'm saying? Don't be a statistic. Don't go out and feel like, okay, well, you know, this is going to make me less than a man. What's going to make you less of a man is if you leave your family high and dry because you felt like you want to take your own life. That's what makes you less than a man. You know what I'm saying? And there's so much help out here, man. And it's like, I feel like, you know, we as men, especially men of color, we've never geared ourselves to be towards getting help. We'll be like, oh, we don't need no counseling. I don't want to talk to no counseling. Hey, you know, it's a family trait that, you know, that's not a good trait. You know, we've never dealt with counseling, whether it's juvenile, whether it's as adults or whatever. We have to continue to understand that there's help. Help is on the way. Reach out for it. You know what I'm saying? Allow somebody else to be there. I went through about 3-4 months ago. I went through only two days of anxiety. I had anxiety. I never had it before in my life. It was a scary situation when I felt like I couldn't control. When you feel like you can't control your mind and what you're capable of, and to me, that's an issue. You know what I'm saying? So definitely reach out, man. I reached out to friends and family. I talked to them, you know, there's help, man. You'll get better. There's ways to get better. And like I said, just make sure you take that and take that to heart. All right. And go out and get help. And that goes for everybody. That's not for men of color, but that's for everybody. Go out and get some help. You know what I'm saying? If you don't know where to get it from, hit us up. You know what I'm saying? Lofton put that hotline up, and I'm pretty sure we're always here to help, man. As veterans, we definitely, I've lost friends to suicide, man. It's not a great thing. We want to make sure that we're here for everybody, and especially our fallen brothers and sisters.
Yeah. Got to be there. Got to be here to make the change and make sure that everything's good to go. So it's been great, man. Really appreciate. Want to say much love to my man Jody, aka Diddy Survivor Skywalker. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey man, you put it on there, so hey, I gotta read it. Hey, you know what I mean?
I'm a survivor. I don't go to Diddy parties. Okay?
Also, mad love to always my co-host Rajim in the building. You know what I'm saying? And once again, hey, Also, I got a little message. Got a message from one of our daggone for our co-hosts. You know what I'm saying? She wasn't on the show because she was seeing her little nephew get born. You know what I'm saying? So congrats out there for Aaliyah in the building. Nephew, got Auntie Aaliyah. Okay, she about to be passing out money and whatnot. You know what I'm saying? Getting it done as a super auntie. So congrats to Auntie Aaliyah out there. She's doing big things. So we really appreciate you and never, never, ever, ever want to keep you from the fam. You know what I'm saying? The fam be doing the big thing. So hey, congratulations to Auntie Aaliyah out there. And she's doing out big things, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully she'll be here coming back soon. You know, hey, that's very important. So make sure you take care of the family out there. And once again, you know, it's Men Catch Up Podcast, episode 79. It just seemed to be not right with my soul. But we gonna keep it rolling, you know what I'm saying? So, hey, we really appreciate y'all. And once again, it's been fantastic y'all hanging out with us and kicking it with us. Make sure y'all share, y'all subscribe, friend request us, hit us with the streamings. We on all the platforms. And if you really want to see our, like I said, TV ready, movie ready faces, we ain't ready yet. We ain't got them radio faces. We got the TV faces, you know what I'm saying? We don't put no ugly motherfuckers on the show. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we do out here. You know what I'm saying? Men Catch Up Podcast, episode 79. We out this. See y'all next week, man. Tuesday, 7 p.m. All day. What's up? It's the MKP. We got a Lee in the building. Mr. Man.